When a private school wants to differentiate from a public school, then there are some obvious things that you want to point out. Now, depending on if your private school is a faith-based Christian school, then some of these may or may not apply. So I'll include all of them, and then you can make your application according to what kind of school, what kind of private school you have. But generally, when you're talking about the difference between a public and private school, they should be fairly obvious to you. But just to make sure, let's go over some of the main things that we talk about in the difference between public and private schools. Now, obviously, there's some unique things that are going to be in your particular city, the independent school district or the county district or whatever reference it is to however your school system is laid out. There's going to be some unique things about your public schools versus your private schools. And I'll say as well, there are some things that the public school may do better than you do. They may have more offerings than you do, most likely in terms of facilities and number of sports offerings. Oftentimes the public school does kind of win out in that category. So therefore, differentiation is all that more important. But in general, there's some things that we can kind of point out, and these are some things as you're thinking about what a family who is currently in a public school environment, or perhaps they're in another environment, or they're looking at whether they should go to private or go into the public school, such as a homeschool. Maybe they've kind of gotten past the point where mom wants to teach algebra, and so she's looking at another option besides homeschooling. And so she's trying to make a choice between your private school and going into the public school. Or it could be definitely in the younger ages, that early childhood, where they haven't had any experience in the schools at all, and they're trying to determine if they're going to go a public school route or a private school route. So there's some things that you want to, don't make any assumptions that these parents know. So the future families that are looking at your school, never assume that they know the difference between what you have to offer in your private school versus what maybe the public school or the county school or whatever the government-supported school is in your area. So let's kind of go through some of those things. I mentioned first already, faith integration. If your school is a Christian school, maybe it's a Jewish school, maybe it's some other school that has a faith integration to it, then obviously that is going to be a distinctive element to your school. So you want to make sure that you point that out. And what does that mean? What does it actually look like? In a Christian school, that's primarily who I deal with. So you want to talk specifically about what does that term mean when you're a Christian school? Does it mean that you have a worship or a chapel daily, or is it weekly? What does that look like? It's okay if it's once a month, but just make a comment. Make sure they know what that looks like. And is that chapel all together? If you're a K-12 school, are you all together every single day or once a week? Or do you have grade level or elementary chapel together, and then high school chapel is differently? And do you always assemble in one big auditorium, and then someone teaches you, or someone else from the outside, one of the area youth pastors comes in and speaks, or is it just somebody on staff that talks, or is there a student-led service of any kind, either through the worship band or the speaking, or maybe it's giving a testimony? What does that look like? Or is it small group time where the students, particularly the older middle and high school students, get to interact and discuss things, wrestle with issues of the day? Or is it a combination of those things? Very likely in a lot of schools, it's a combination of things. You may do some small group settings and then have some large chapel times, maybe an all-school chapel periodically throughout the year. These are some things that are very distinctive from your public school, where there are assemblies, but definitely no assembly for worship. And so you want to, obviously, don't just assume that, well, they're coming for a Christian school, they know what we do. You want to outline exactly how it is that you do that, so that parents who are, maybe that is something they're really looking for, they want to have more They want to have faith integrated into more of the, I guess I'd call it Monday through Friday experience. They may do a lot of things over the weekend or at church, where you, through either the home or at their church, the students are getting faith taught to them and modeled for them. But what happens between Monday and Friday when they're at school? And so parents are maybe wanting more of that. So they're looking at a Christian school option. Perhaps they're just looking at a Christian school simply because it's a smaller school, or and they want a private school just because they know some of the advantages of that. But it's not necessarily they're coming for faith. They're not antagonistic toward it. They welcome it, but that's not what they're looking for. But still, you want to point out what would a small group chapel look like, where just the seniors wrestle with some of the issues facing them after college or after high school when they go into college. Well, those are some things that even if a parent's not necessarily seeking out the Christian aspect of a private school, they're certainly going to be intrigued by the students wrestling with some of the personal as well as global issues of the day, wrestling through those things, critical thinking through what does that look like to be a world changer. And how would we solve problems around the world and in our local communities and in our lives? How would we deal with those things? And that's something that a parent is going to be interested in. And by having this, quote, chapel experience, but in a small group format, that's going to give them some insight into what you're preparing them for. So beyond faith integration, some other things, obviously curriculum, what kind of curriculum you use, especially important at those younger ages. They want to know what you're doing, but certainly all the way through, how are you, the different classes, the AP classes that you offer, dual credit, all those kind of things. Again, these are just reminders as you kind of filling out your chart of what separates you. Make sure that you know how you are unique, what do you do. And when you're talking about differentiation, you're always trying to think, one, do I know what my public school competitor offers? So you kind of do some research, find out what they offer. It may be that you offer the exact same thing that the public school gets. Well, I'd want to point that out. So even though it's not different in this way, it may be different than what the parent is thinking. They may be thinking coming to a private school, which is typically a smaller school, they may think there's no way you offer AP calculus. But if you do, then you want to make sure that they know that because that's different than what they perceive it to be. So sometimes pointing out the things that make you different are different than what your parents are perceiving, even if it's similar to what they are going to get at the public school. So thinking about all the different things that you offer in terms of curriculum, your courses, related to that would be extracurricular, making sure you have a list of the things that they participate in. If you have a bass fishing club, now while that's a very extracurricular thing, that may be something they're really into, and they want to know that you offer that. Same thing with any kind of the fine arts or athletic sports teams. They may not know. They may think, well, I don't see a football field, so I guess you don't have football. But you may be using a field across town or something like that where you rent the facility. You still offer football, but you don't have a football stadium. So again, those are things that they perceive that you want to make sure you are aware of those things. So talking about all the extracurricular offerings that they might have, it's very helpful to maybe even have a place on your website or a handout that's got every possible club or group that they could join so that they could see, oh, well, my son is very interested in chess club. My daughter loves, cheerleading, and I'm so glad to see that you do that. And so all the things that they may not necessarily know to ask, but again, they may be coming with their own preconceived ideas of what you either have or maybe even what you possibly don't have, but you may end up having it after all. Sometimes the schedules, the length of the day may be different. Certainly, a lot of times private schools are off on different holidays. In some cities, they match spring break or Thanksgiving break up with the public school just to make it easy on families who do have some kids in both areas, or they just know that it works best, but sometimes it's different. Sometimes you go, you start earlier in the year, earlier in the month of August, or you may get out earlier or get out later. You may go year round versus what the public school does. You may get longer breaks at spring break for Easter break, where maybe they don't acknowledge the Easter, the resurrection celebration, so they don't have that. But you may take a few days off for Easter celebration. These are things that they may not be the game-changing, characteristic or element that you're talking about, but it's things that they have not considered. And it's just, you want to put all these into the mix so that families can make their decision with as much information as they can. Things about teachers I think are really interesting. So talk about first teacher qualifications and how are they and what kind of professional development that they do. This is really important because of that perception. Sometimes families perceive, based on maybe the size of your school, that your teachers may not have the qualifications to teach whatever subject that they are. Maybe they perceive, oh, that's just somebody who's volunteering their time. They may not know. That person may have a master's degree or a terminal degree in that field. Sometimes it's helpful to comment that, well, we have a history teacher who spent 25 years in the public school teaching history, and upon retirement, he decided he wanted to come over here because he wasn't ready to sit around and do yard work all day. He wanted to continue teaching, so he chose to kind of spend his retirement years teaching for us. And maybe he does get paid less, but he loves to teach there, so he's got experience in the public school, which is very surprising to parents when they hear that, because then that tells them that, oh, he would understand where my kid's coming from if I'm moving from the public school to the private school. And that teacher can often be a great person to talk to on a tour when that family's coming around, because you might want to be intentional on taking that family to that particular teacher's or principal or coach, who can say, you know, I've spent time in both public and private, and this is something I know that we do here at the private school or the Christian school that's just unique. And they come at it from, you know, their personal experience. That's going to hold a lot of weight. So teachers are great to comment on their qualifications, their experience. And then also related to teachers is their interaction with students. Sometimes in certain public schools, parents are not allowed to enter the building at any time to drop their kids off at elementary school. You have to drop them off on the curb. Well, even in a secure environment, if you're able to allow for a limited period of time to allow your parents to walk in, walk their kids to class, and then walk out, that's different than what they get at the public school. If you're able to come in and volunteer, do a background check and volunteer and go on field trips, again, sometimes the public school does not allow that. And you want to make sure you are pointing those out, because those are some things that sometimes parents assume that they're not allowed to do. Maybe they've had multiple years at the public school and they don't know that they could actually volunteer. They could come up and help in the teacher workroom. They could go on field trips. They could eat lunch with their child. Again, some things that are unique. So you want to point those things out. Security is probably something you want to point out too. That some, again, this might be, there might be a different, you may have better security than the public school, or you may, the perception may be that there's no way you could afford the kind of security that they have at the public school, but you may very well have secure buildings where they lock down, where only with a key fob or a key or something like that before somebody can get in. And people assume because you're smaller, there's no way you could afford that. So they maybe just make that assumption that you don't have that, or you don't have anybody on campus who is a dedicated individual, whether they are armed or not, just somebody to take care of security issues. Or maybe they don't know that you're coordinated with the local police department. Those are some things that you want to point out. So any way that you can differentiate from either what the public school is doing or what the perception that parents have about your school is very important. One of the big things we always talk about is class size. Usually that is the case with a private school over a public school, just because the class size matters so much, the student-teacher ratio. That's what a lot of, especially when it gets into middle school, when kids starting to struggle a little bit more and they don't, the parents see start seeing them from a peer standpoint or athletics or even academics, they start getting lost in the crowd. And things start accelerating a lot and moving along pretty fast. And parents start fearing that their kid's going to be lost and just become a number in the classroom. And so you want to talk about your class size. But also very important in those younger kindergarten age where parents don't want to even start down the road of going into a classroom of, say, 25 students for every one teacher where the private school may have 13. That's going to be a big difference. Accreditation is a big thing, too. Again, this is probably more so in terms of what parents perceive. They may not know. So, again, their concern is, I'll say this from, I had somebody tell me one time, they had a parent tell them they thought the Christian school was just nothing more than just kind of a glorified Bible class, like a Sunday school class would be at church. They didn't realize there was an accreditation, that they'd actually had an outside third-party group come in and do accreditation and rigorous assessments and things like that. So these are some things that parents just don't know. Likely have different kind of accreditation than a public school would have, but you want to point out what's unique about yours. Assessment is a big thing, too. What kind of testing, standardized tests. Again, I'm not sure what your school does, but if you do it differently than a public school, then I would point that out, how you do that. One thing that's different than a lot of schools I work with, that sometimes the state has a state mandated or state standardized test. And a lot of times it's a pass or fail, and you don't move on without extreme circumstances. You're not able to pass unless you pass that test. It creates a lot of anxiety for a lot of families and certainly a lot of kids. You may, at the private school, do more of an assessment, kind of a benchmark early on. Later on in the year, you do an assessment, a test, where you use it's still maybe a standardized test, but it's just there. But maybe you then couple that with what the teachers know about the students and what the principal knows about the students. Again, something that maybe is done differently, and it's a way you can focus on the idea that we know our students, so we know whether they do need to, for some reason, repeat the grade, but you can talk about how we do more than just assess somebody based on a test. So any academic areas that you can focus on, and then certainly thinking about the kind of things that you're preparing them for. So speaking of standardized tests, the ACT or the SAT, how do your students achieve? How do they rank compared to the public school? You know, if that is higher, then I would certainly make a big deal out of that. If it's somewhat on point or lower than the public school, then you want to think about other ways to, look at that. But certainly if you rank higher than the average student at the public school, I'd make a big deal out of that. But you might think about this in terms of doing some profiles of some of your graduates. Talk about where they go. What kind of schools do they attend? Can somebody, again, this is from a parent perspective, can someone go through your school and go on to a large Division I, university, prestigious university? Can they do that? Or are they going to be academically prepared for that? And so you can really point out some things like that, especially a lot of times in the private schools and the smaller schools, they're sometimes more academically prepared than the public schools are. And you can point that out, maybe either talking to professors that you know at the universities in your area, or if you have a connection to one that a lot of your alumni go to, ask them and say, are kids from our school better prepared than what you see from some public schools? Some of them, sometimes they'll actually be able to say, yeah, I see the people from that school that come in our class and they already know how to write papers, they know how to do critical thinking, they know how to do research and those kind of things. So you want to point that out as well when you're talking about differentiation. Another thing related to fine arts and academics, again, some of the extracurricular is participation possibilities. You never want to guarantee somebody, well, if you come over to our smaller school, you'll be able to perform, you'll be able to participate, you'll be able to play. But certainly you can point to probably a lot of examples where maybe your squad, your team, your group, your club is not as large, and so there's more opportunities to participate, play, or perform. But certainly you want to point that out and give people an idea. I would never advocate recruiting just to get people some sort of promise to play, but definitely point that out, that there's opportunities to participate where maybe they come from a very large public high school where the chances of them participating and playing in the, on the team or performing are just, you know, very minimal, but maybe you can show them how they have multiple opportunities to play. Or maybe it's a particular thing. Sometimes in the larger public schools in the cities, they start driving kids to specialize in one particular sport. Maybe if you say, you know, you point out, say, well, we have several, you know, 75% of our high school athletes play more than one sport. And, you know, they'd like to do that, or maybe highlight. As long as they can handle the academics, it's not too much pressure, you might be able to say, and our star basketball, you know, one of our star basketball players also was the lead in the high school musical. You know, those kind of things that, again, in some of the larger city public schools, there's just such a large environment that students are typically kind of pushed into one area and say, you need to excel in that area, but you really don't have an opportunity. You wouldn't have time to excel in multiple areas. So, you know, those are some things that you really want to point out. So all of these areas I've kind of gone through just helping you learn how to differentiate between your private school and your public school.